week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Our starting line on Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. One of the greatest athletes Nigeria has produced is the now-retired sprinter, Falilat Ogunkoya. The 51-year-old Ogunkoya won her first major international title at the 1986 World Junior Championships in Athens, Greece, where she was the gold medalist in the 200 meters. She would go on to win gold in the 400 meters at the 1999 All-Africa Games in Johannesburg, South Africa. And Falilat was also crowned African champion four times, twice at 200 meters and twice at 400 meters. But the pinnacle of her athletics career came here in the USA at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Ogunkoya won two medals, a silver in the 4x400 meters team relay and a bronze in the 400 meters. Her time in the 400 meters, 49.10 seconds, was an African record, and it still stands today. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Falilat Ogunkoya reflected on her performance at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics.
Winning the first individual medal was a good feeling. It was a good feeling when you do something that nobody has done before and you are the first. It's always a very good feeling. It was a tough race, very tough. But getting that medal and be the first female to win individual medal for Nigeria, it was a good feeling. I thank God, I thank my coaches, everybody that supported me. I cannot take that credit alone because they helped, a lot of people helped, the coaches, the dietitian, the masseur, everybody. They put in a lot of work and it paid off that day. Thank God for that. And 49.10, still an African record. I keep my finger crossed on it, and I just hope that a Nigerian can walk and then be able to see that this the record. 24 years is a long time, and I want to see a lot of Nigerian running 49, running 50 seconds in an international competition.
In some international events, female athletes have been doing Nigeria proud. What's your assessment of Nigerian female athletes?
It's true, we female athletes have done very well. Even male have done that too, but most of the time, female are the one doing a lot of things for Nigeria, not only in athletics, in other sports too. I think for female, I think they are more calm than men. Men want resort quick, but with female, I think we are more a little bit calm, a little bit tolerant.
Do you think Nigeria has potentials to produce another Falilat Ogunkoya in athletics?
Nigeria has potential. We have a lot of potential in this country. We have a lot of people that can run fast, that can throw fast, that can jump fast, that can run all fast. We just have to fetch them out. If Jamaica less than 2 million, Bahama less than 2 million, and at least can run 48. I think that if we do the right thing, if we manage our people very well, if we put people that have the athlete at heart, the people that are concerned, the people that want to work, not Olympic coach or Commonwealth coach or West Championship coach, there's some coaches that really wants to work. If we can do that, and I believe that we'll be able to produce more athletes that that be able to represent us.
That's Olympic silver medalist and Olympic bronze medalist Falilat Ogunkoya of Nigeria. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abeokuta, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogunkoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America, please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat radio show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more African athletics news, Kenya's world steeplechase champion Beatrice Chepkoech has been added to the field for the women's 5,000 meters race at next week's Monaco Diamond League meet. The 29-year-old Chepkoech will be making her season debut at the Monaco competition on August 13th. 2 years ago in Monaco, Beatrice smashed the women's world record in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. She took 8 seconds off the previous mark, clocking 8 minutes and 44.32 seconds. I know Chepkoech and other top African athletes are looking forward to next year's Olympics in Tokyo. The games will be held with corona, according to the organizing committee's chief executive, Toshiro Muto. In an interview with the Financial Times newspaper, Muto said the global health crisis will likely not have disappeared by the time of the postponed games. He said, and I quote, "Rather, the important thing is to deliver an Olympics for people who must live with COVID-19. Meanwhile, the Olympic Rings monument installed in Tokyo Bay for the 2020 Games were temporarily removed for maintenance on Thursday. The symbolic Olympic rings will return in December when Japan heads into the final stretch of preparations for the rescheduled event. Reuters reporter Gloria So tells us more.
A large Olympics rings monument was hauled out of Tokyo Bay on Thursday, what would have been day 14 of the games. The Olympics were pushed back a year in March over the global health crisis. The rings will return to the bay in December when Japan heads into the final stretch of getting ready for a rescheduled games next summer. Tokyo's planning director Atsushi Yanashimizu was there to watch the rings be pulled away.
It's kind of sad because it won't be on display for the next 4 months, but we'll make sure that the rings will be kept clean and secure before they come back in December.
By then, organizers hope to have a better idea of whether the Olympics can go ahead given ongoing worries over the health crisis. They've said they hope successfully hosting the games then could stand as a positive symbol for the world.
Thanks, Gloria. That's Reuters reporter Gloria So. Now let's go to San Francisco, California, where many of the world's best golfers are teeing off on this Thursday for the first round of the PGA Championship. And because of the global pandemic, they're teeing off without fans in attendance at TPC Harding Park. American star Tiger Woods.
It's going to be very different, but it's still a major championship. It's still the best players in the world. We all understand that and going into it. So there's going to be plenty of energy from the competitive side. But as far as the energy outside the ropes, that is an unknown.
What is known is that Tiger is bidding for his fifth PGA Championship trophy and 16th major title overall. He talks about his current form.
Obviously, I haven't played much competitively, but I've been playing a lot at home. So I've been getting plenty of reps that way. Just trying to get my way, you know, back into this part of the season. And this is what I've been gearing up for.
That's American golf star Tiger Woods speaking in San Francisco, California, where first round action is taking place on Thursday at the 102nd edition of the PGA Championship. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
My Voice of America colleague, Jim Stevenson, began his latest Game Room sports package with a Spanish tennis star. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Open in New York.
Rafael Nadal has a fourth U.S. Open title. He survived a tough, entertaining 4-hour, 50-minute match against rising star Daniil Medvedev, 7-5, 6-3, 5-7, 4-6, 6-4.
The way that the match became very dramatic at the end, that makes this day unforgettable, no? And part of my history of this sport, no?
Winning his 19th career Grand Slam at the U.S. Open last year, tennis great Rafael Nadal will not return this year to defend his title. Nadal said, "I have decided not to play this year's U.S. Open. The situation is very complicated worldwide. The COVID-19 cases are increasing. It looks like we still don't have control of it."
Well, everybody knows how much I love playing in New York. The energy that court brings to me is... It's just difficult to describe. But the circumstances today, speaking with my family, with my team, with the people that I love around me, forced me to take that decision because, and my personal feeling at the same time, no, I am the defending champion there, but my personal feeling, my heart says today is not the moment to have these long travels. Without knowing exactly what can happen or what can't happen. So my decision is to stay here, stay at home in Mallorca. That situation looks good, looks under control here, and wait for future opportunities.
Nadal needs one more Grand Slam title to tie the all-time men's record of 20 held by Roger Federer of Switzerland. Tour-level women's tennis returned after a 5-month absence due to the coronavirus pandemic as 6-seed Dana Vekic of Croatia beat Arantxa Rus of the Netherlands in the first round of the WTA Palermo Open with only a handful of fans in the stands. The world number 24 won 6-1, 6-2 in a match where both players had to handle their own towels and forego the traditional post-match handshake.
It felt pretty good after a long 5 months. I was really happy to be out there, to be competing, to be playing points, and that winning feeling, nothing can come close to it. So it's I'm really happy right now.
The tournament offered no showers on site for the players, and they were not allowed to stop and sign autographs or pose for selfies. Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
We have a lot of really smart people working on this. Really, a number of committed players who want to play through this, but everybody wants to play safely.
Mark Attanasio, the owner of Major League Baseball's Milwaukee Brewers, says the tenuous season depends on everyone involved with the game.
If we're not smart and safe, then we'll fail. But we can do everything we can not to fail.
Attanasio spoke as the Brewers were to have played their home opener against the St. Louis Cardinals in Milwaukee. But the game was canceled after two Cardinals players tested positive for COVID-19.
Part of what you're seeing where you're canceling a game like today is a focus on trying to get through the season rather than just look at something that's in a plan and say, oh, well, the plan was XYZ, so we're going to do XYZ.
Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mosliak, was hopeful the team could quickly get back on the field if the results of another round of tests show the virus has not spread to other players.
You know, we have a lot of balls up in the air. It's obviously creating a lot of anxiety here, and, you know, we certainly understand the importance of trying to get back on the field, but we recognize the importance of player and staff safety as well, so really just ask for people's patience in all of this, and we understand the business is baseball, and if we can try to find a way to get back out there, we're going to.
By the end of last week, six Major League Baseball teams were idle because of the COVID-19 pandemic. League Commissioner Rob Manfred is concerned that players follow the sport's coronavirus protocols, with the cancellation of the season a possibility if virus cases continue to spread. One of baseball's teams on the sidelines is the Miami Marlins. 18 players on the team have tested positive for coronavirus. Marlins CEO Derek Jeter slammed reports that some of his players had broken protocols and went to night spots during a stop in Atlanta.
There's no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive.
Still, Jeter blames the entire traveling team for not fully complying with virus protocols.
The entire traveling party is responsible for not following the protocols as is instructed. That includes coaches, staff, and players. You know, everyone has seen the impact. They've seen their teammates get sick, and I know they all have a new level of appreciation. Hopefully, you know, this has been a wake-up call for everyone, not only on our team, but in the rest of baseball and sports in general.
Miami last played on July 26th in Philadelphia, and Jeter says thankfully everyone seems to be relatively okay so far.
The players are doing okay. All things considered, I've checked in with our guys, and all things considered, they're in good spirits, but we hope they get healthy and safe sooner rather than later.
The coronavirus continues to force changes in Major League Baseball's beleaguered schedule, as 8 teams have been affected in the first 9 days of the season.
I don't think there's any indication yet that the league is considering shutting down the season based on this. They're insisting that the protocols they have in place should be able to allow them to continue the season even with positive tests, even with this happening.
Associated Press reporter Jake Seiner says Major League Baseball's protocol plans include comprehensive contact tracing.
MLB, as part of their plan, operate the 60-game season. They hatched an entire system for contact tracing. They appointed a few people in the commissioner's office to oversee the program. Those people have worked with teams to identify at least two existing team employees that were then trained to do contact tracing.
But he cautions the plan is obviously not bulletproof.
A real flaw for this plan would be if a team employee came to a player and said, hey, we need you to divulge everything that you've been doing, even in your personal life, for the last 48 hours. If a player has reason to think that they violated some of the safety protocols and they think the team might punish him for that, they might not be as forthcoming as is necessary to make these contact tracing investigations as thorough as they need to be to really be one of the pillars of keeping players safe through the 60-game season.
Siner says baseball's contact tracing only includes team members.
Major League Baseball's contact tracing program is limited strictly to team and league personnel. They might identify as part of that program that a player had an interaction with, say, a hotel staffer. They will not then reach out directly to that hotel staffer. That is not part of their program.
He says teams are encouraged to consult with local health authorities as they travel around the United States.
What the league has told all teams is that they must interact and connect with local health departments, local health entities, establish some lines of communication there, figure out what those local health entities want in those situations. And also they're allowed to reach out to the companies, encourage them back to reach out to, say, hotel management if they have reason to believe that hotel staff member has interacted with a player who's come back with a positive test.
Team tracers have to complete a 2-hour online training course. That's substantially less training than provided to tracers preparing to work with the general public. MLB does mandate extra precautions for those close contacts when they return to stadiums, daily testing for at least a week, more rigorous symptom checks, and stricter rules about face coverings. Some teams have also acquired point-of-care testing machines, which provide rapid results. However, the league has warned teams that those tests are not as accurate, and those results cannot be used to clear a player or coach.
Thanks, Jim. That's VOA's Jim Stevenson. Jim's Game Room opens with new sports stories each week, or you can play anytime via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Wednesday, the Philadelphia 76ers beat my beloved Washington Wizards 107-98 in Orlando, Florida. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had a big game for Philadelphia with a game-high 30 points and 11 rebounds. The 76ers have already qualified for the NBA playoffs, while the Wizards are pretty much just playing for pride in Orlando, where the NBA has restarted its season in a quarantine bubble. Elsewhere, the Portland Trail Blazers kept their playoff hopes alive with a victory over the Houston Rockets in Orlando. The AP's Adam Spillane reports.
The Portland Trail Blazers have taken over sole possession of ninth place in the Western Conference after beating the Houston Rockets 110-102. The win puts Portland a half game up on the San Antonio Spurs for the chance to play in a play-in game for the final playoff spot in the West. Damian Lillard's 21-point, 9-rebound, 8-assist night led the Blazers.
Each game, we just want to keep improving, keep getting better. That way, we earn ourselves an opportunity to play in the playoffs, and then once we do that, I think we'll be trending in the right direction.
Yusuf Nurkic added 18 points and 19 rebounds in just 29 minutes. James Harden's 23-point, 9-assist night paced Houston, but the Rockets dropped back into a tie for fourth in the West. I'm Adam Spillane.
Thanks, Adam. Adam mentioned the San Antonio Spurs in his report. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame center David Robinson, who played 14 seasons for the Spurs. Robinson is celebrating his 55th birthday on Thursday. He won two NBA titles with San Antonio and was named the league's most valuable player in 1995. A 10-time NBA All-Star, David Robinson also helped the USA win gold medals in men's basketball at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics and the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Happy birthday to Basketball Hall of Famer David Robinson.
It's
And that wraps up the August 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.